Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America. I'm back. I'm Chad Pagano. I'm a former Army sniper, a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter. And you're listening to the Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth, airing live on heritageradionetwork.org. Very excited to be back. Renewed energy, whole new season. Hope everyone had a great new year. Great holiday season. I did. It's hard to come back to work full time at the school. Love what I do. Love working in the kitchen, but had a lot of time off there between hunting season and then the holidays. And now I'm back in the grind, as they call it. But everything's good. And we got a whole new season of shows for you lined up here. We're supposed to have a guest, but I'll fill you in later. We're going to have it. We're going to have them on next week. I got two really brilliant authors who wrote a book on one of my favorite subject matters. But we'll talk about that later. For today, we're going to kick off the season, the all new season of Wild Game Domain, by talking about duck hunting, and it's appropriate because we are in the mist. Thank you. Jack, shook his head. He's like, oh, idiot. Yeah, missed. We're in the midst of duck season here in New York State, especially on Long Island, and some of the best duck hunting, really, in the country, right here on Long Island. The season runs primarily, it's a little confusing depending on the species of duck, but primarily ducks run, you know, November, end of November to the end of January. I think this year duck season ends the 25th. And then you got sea ducks, special extended season runs through the end of January, January 31st. Oh, exciting news. New York State has extended the deer archery season out on Long Island. So if you guys are still out there hunting with the archery gear, God bless you, man. We had a cold front come through here for a couple of days. I couldn't imagine, and I'm hardcore. I'll hunt through anything. I couldn't imagine drawing back 65 pounds of arrow to try to take down a deer. But it's a great time of year to get out there. You see their winter patterns. You really be part of nature out there. So I'm planning on getting out maybe this weekend. You know, just scouting it out, setting up some trail cameras, things of that nature. But let's not waste any more time. Let's talk about duck hunting. So my duck hunting story goes something like this. Never really did it. Things I don't do, I'm not interested in, so I never really talked about it until a good friend of mine, we were actually at a wedding having a few drinks and talking about hunting and deer hunting, and he said, yeah, and look at this picture, and it was a duck, trophy duck, I guess, and at the time I was like, wow, yeah, you duck hunt? He said, yeah, you know, I don't do it often, but I go out, and I said, yeah, I would love to get into it, but there's so much equipment and, you know, strategy and, you know, you obviously need access to water and property and dogs and the decoys. And he said, what, are you kidding me? I go out to the county park here on Long Island. He brings what we call a blind chair. It's a chair. It's kind of like fold up beach chair, but it's got a covering on it, like a camouflage tarp covering. So you sit down in a chair, you pull the tarp over your head and you're sitting completely concealed, and that's his blind. And he said he sets up in the wetlands, and he starts calling. He doesn't even set out decoys or anything. And he said he's relatively successful. And just through that concept, I started thinking about it and started talking to guys in my club who I didn't realize were hardcore duck hunters out in Quogue. We hunt in the fork of Long Island. We have a couple of great duck blinds there, some on the South Shore. And I live in Oceanside, New York, right by the right by the water, and big duck hunting community out in Long Beach, Island Park, that area in the marshlands. So I kind of fell into it, and you know what? I fell in love with it. I would not give up a day of archery deer to go out duck hunting, but towards the end of the deer season, when I'm kind of getting dogged out from the long season, you know, and it's a really nice change to be able to get some to get into the duck blind, where it's a little more social. You're with a couple of guys, you could talk a little bit, you have a heater. So it's a different kind of hunting. And, you know, so like this waterfowl, the idea of waterfowl hunting, I don't want you to be, you know, intimidated by it. If you're thinking, or you're on the edge and you're thinking about doing it, I want you to dive in. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about some of the basic equipment and kind of working through a typical waterfowl hunt. You know, there's a lot of equipment involved, truthfully, like I just said. You know, you could do it with a minimal amount, but if you really want to get into it, start slow and then start collecting the equipment necessary. I'm not going to lie to you. The regulations for a non-waterfowl hunter may be a little confusing at first, but, you know, DC does a really good job on their website of kind of explaining. You need a federal duck stamp, which is easy enough. You go into any outlet where they sell New York State hunting license and ask the guy and he'll give you a duck stamp and you sign across the stamp and you're good to go. There's also another requirement, HIP, Harvest Information Program, as far as waterfowlers. I'm not sure if that's specific to Long Island or all of New York, but you can find that out very easily, and it's a matter of calling the 1-800 number and getting a registration number. And what the way the program works, the DEC will contact certain hunters who harvest animals, and you'll have to fill out a survey. It's minimally disruptive to any kind of hunt. So, you know, I was sitting there and I was thinking back to like all the questions, you know, I had, you know, when I was trying to get into duck hunting, and you know, and really they're typical of getting into hunting for any animal. You know, you want specific information, and that's what we're going to go over today. You know, and the first thing starts, you got to have access to a good hunting location. And there's, truthfully, go to the DEC website. There's a lot of public hunting land out there for waterfowl hunters that you could do pretty well at. And the truth of the matter is, I said this about every kind of hunting we talk about, but if you're willing to learn, most duck hunters are more than happy to teach you. They're more than happy to help you out, get more people involved in the sport that they love. So, you know, you got to start networking a little bit. But some of the basic equipment is, you know, the first one you think of are decoys. And, you know, the history of duck decoys are just, you know, amazing, you know, and they're really works of art in some ways. You know, some of these guys do beautiful works of art as far as the shading and the painting on these decoys. But, you know, the price of a decoy is like ridiculous. Now, more and more people are waterfowling, and, you know, it's supply and demand. I think, you know, in the last 10 years, the price has come down a reasonable amount to make it, you know, very accessible to the regular guy who wants to go out there and just give it a try. You know, if you're not sure what species you're hunting, there are various species of duck. I mean, you should be sure. You should go to the website and make sure you're hunting legally. But you just need to buy a set of mallard decoys. That's all you need. Pretty standard. Just about any duck on the face of the earth will take a look at a good mallard decoy. They'll kind of be interested. You know, there's a couple of companies out there I really like. I don't want to promote any. They're you know, you don't need anything crazy, but Greenhead Gear offers a really nice decoy set. It's $20. You get a dozen decoys, and now you're ready to go. You have your decoys to put out. And we'll talk about the strategy of that in a little bit. You're going to want, at a minimum, some waterproof boots, you know, knee high at a minimum. I wear waders. And again, you could buy some fancy stuff. You probably saw, you know, that duck show on TV, Duck Dynasty, you know, and those guys are geared up with Under Armour and all the good stuff, and it's all expensive gear. And I'm a big gear guy if you need the gear, but if you're just getting into it, you know, buy a $50 pair of waders. That's all you really need. Go to your dad's garage. Every dad had waders sitting out there. Make sure they're They're waterproof, and you're good to go. It's not like you're going to be out there scuba diving, but you're in the swamp. You're in the marsh. You're going to want something to keep dry and warm. Some guys, you know, the guys I hunt with all wear chest waders. You know, they're invested in this. You know, you don't want to, you know, the chest waders are better for deeper water, obviously, and obviously will handle shallow water. But they cover your, more importantly, your ass, your butt. So when you sit down, you're dry for the whole day. It's funny I started there, right? Because I was thinking you got to start with the guns. I'm a gun guy. You need a good gun. But the truth of the matter is, if you're not dry and you can't attract the ducks, you know, I don't care what kind of gun you have. So, you know, decoys and a good pair of waterproof boots are where to start. Standard issue, you know, good old 12-gauge shotgun. I like semi-automatic. You know, some like the pumps. They people tend to think the pump actions fail less, which is probably true. I like the semi-automatic because all you need to do is pull the trigger. You get three shots. The pumps, if they get a little wet and you have a misfire under condition, you quickly clear it and you get that second shot on the ducks. So, you know, if you're buying a shotgun for the first time, go to the local store, talk to a guy, see what feels good in your hands. You know, you definitely need a 12-gauge shotgun, though. I wouldn't go with anything less than that. The 12-gauge, you know, predominantly is what's used for waterfowl hunters, most bird hunters. You know, the youth hunts and stuff like that, you know, I've seen kids hunting with a 20-gauge, and at close range, 20-gauge could do the job. I don't want to be sexist, but my wife shoots a 20-gauge when she shoots shotgun, so you could get away with it, but you're restricting your range. You know, you're going to be shooting at ducks or have to call them in a lot closer. And then, you know, anything bigger, 10-gauge shotgun, stuff like that, are, you know, really unnecessary. I mean, they're fine. But bigger birds, usually goose hunting, things like that. You know, the ammunition you're going to be using, this is where it gets called a bit dicey. First off, lead shot is off limits. Forget it. Don't kill the environment, all right? We care. We're conservationists. We want to help. Don't buy lead. Steel shot or any of the several other non-toxic shot shells are what we want to use. Most of the non-toxic stuff is higher velocity. It won't hurt the environment, and really has more of an impact than the steel shot in most cases, you know, just based on the velocity in which it hits the birds. You know, there's some cost involved with this, obviously. You know, check your local restrictions. Make sure you're buying the proper shells. You know, shell size for your gun, 3-inch shells are pretty much the standard. If your gun will chamber a 3.5 shell, then, you know, they'll come in handy for those long distance or more difficult shots. But, you know, typical non-toxic shot is what we want to use. I talked about this a little bit in the beginning, but your camouflage, you know, former Army sniper here. We got to talk about camouflage. Oops, I dropped my timing device, Jack. I'm rusty today. Hold on. I'm back on the air. Got to know when to take the break, you know? Okay, camouflage. I moved seats today, listening people. You know, I came in today all positive. I was like, hey, Jack, Happy New Year. I'm going to move seats. They cleaned up the studio. Everything's good. And I hate this seat. I hate this effing seat, Jack. I can't.
I know.
Who sits here? It's all crooked. Look at me. I got to hold the microphone in place. Look, the microphone moves. You ready?
You're a mess.
Watch this. Oh, no, it's not fucking doing it. But it was moving before. I had to hold it. All right. I'm sorry. Getting back to the show. You know what? Let's take a short break here. We're actually 15 minutes into this. I'm going to get my act together here. I'm going to go back to my old seat, and then we'll restart the show. You're listening to the Wild Game Domain on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
And this one's called Vroom Vroom by Ball of Flame Shoot Fire. This is the Wild Game Domain on Heritage Radio Network.
Since 2001, Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods guaranteed to produce the very best-tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Red Wattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
Hey, we're back. I'm Chad Pagano, host of the Wild Game Domain, and I am back in my seat and comfortable, and I don't have to hold the mic, and now we're going to put on a show. You better get ready. What were we talking about? We talk about camouflage. So I'm an Army sniper. Camouflage is important. You don't want the animals to see you, obviously. You know, you have to know where you're hunting. If you're primarily going to hunt marshes, you know, a brown, grassy pattern is good. You know, they have many different patterns out there, duck blind gear. If you're hunting in a more wooded area or you know, a more, you know, tree-filled area, you're going to want to wear a leafy pattern. Truthfully, I'm going to be honest with you. When I started out, I just wore my real tree, you know, deer hunting gear, and it worked out just fine. You're generally going to want to try to conceal yourself as much as possible within a blind or up against a tree. You really want to kind of even build a quick duck blind, you know, throw some reeds over you, make sure you're well camouflaged. You know, think about waterproof, think about keeping warm. It's very hot. You know, you're going to be right on the water. You're going to be cold. You know, a good pair of sunglasses or a hat with a visor. I always wear two hats. I'll wear my camo, you know, baseball cap to prevent the sun, because you're going to be looking up into the sky. You don't want to get blinded when you're shooting. So, you know, just make sure you have your equipment all set. You're camouflaged into your environment. You're good to go. And then we get into the actual tactics, or kind of how do we get these birds to come to this small little spot on the face of the earth? Well, we talked about decoys. You can put some decoys out. But for most new hunters, a call works best. How do I say this nicely? When you leave it at home. If you're not good at calling, don't do it. You need to practice. It's funny. We have two duck blinds out. And listen, and by, I'm talking about myself too, because I'm not that guy duck hunting nonstop. When I hunt, I'm always going to the guys I know who could call, and I want to get in with them. But we were out hunting, and we have these two blinds within probably a couple hundred yards of each other on one property we have in my club. And the other guys were calling from the blind nonstop, incessantly, not quitting, and it sounded like there was a murder going on over there. I was worried coyotes were going to attack us. They were going to think a dying animal was in that blind. So you have to do your research first of all. If you have a good spot, if your scouting is good, if you've seen ducks, you don't even need to call. Truthfully, you're better off not calling. Ducks and geese will want to come, any migrating bird will want to come to your area. If you've done your homework and you have your decoys out, we call it the spread. They're going to want to come to your spread. They're going to be curious. Why are there other ducks there? Are there food? Is there safety? Why are birds there already? So you're better off not calling. you know, and then you have to practice. The best thing to do is go online. Ducks Unlimited has MP3s online. You could play them and then try to mimic the calls until you feel really good. That's what I did to learn how to call turkey. I'll go United Federation of Turkey. I'll click on the MP3, hear the hen call, and then try to mimic it over and over. You know, and it boils down to really, if you're in a good spot, you're going to see ducks. If you've done your research, other guys have told you ducks are here, wait, be patient, ducks are going to come. You know, and there's a lot of land out there. There's public hunting lands available for you to go out and have the time of your life. And it's really some of the best, you know, hunting property provided to us by the state and the counties, towns are public, and you could just get out there and hunt. You know, be careful of where you are, know your surroundings, know where the houses are. Make sure you'll be surprised how far one of those pellets will fly when you take a shot. So be careful. You got to know your regulations. Talked about that already. You got to be able to identify the birds. Bird identification is critical because you need to study. You need to look at these birds, identify books, go online, you know. Like I said, Ducks Unlimited. Their website is a must. You have to go before you go out, and you could pretty much get all the information you need from Ducks Unlimited. Learn what the birds look like while flying, what types of sounds they make. Just about everyone knows what a mallard looks like, you know, with the green head. In most states, shooting a hen mallard is far more restrictive than drakes. So, you know, you have to know what you're shooting. It's, you know, it's not a big flock's going to fly over your head and you're just going to start blasting like you're in Ramadi or something. You got to avoid that flock shooting, and you got to make sure you know what you're shooting at when you do it. If you're lucky enough and you harvest a duck or waterfowl in any way, it comes down to my mantra: if you kill it, you better eat it. So you got to retrieve it, right? If everything comes together, like I said, and you shoot a bird, obviously a dog is great for this, but how many of us really have access to dogs? My club has a few dogs that if we could get our hands on, we'll use them. They're awesome. They're fun to have out. They're fun to watch work. But if your dog's not trained, a trained hunting dog, a retriever, the dog is more likely to be a hindrance to your hunt. He's going to get in the way. He's going to make a lot of noise. He's going to move around a lot. So if you're hunting, you know, starting out, try to find a shallow pond or a stream where your waders will work. Walk out there and get your own duck. If the water's deep, you might have access to a little boat or even a canoe, a kayak, anything like that, kind of behind your duck blind or put in the reeds will work. Just because you can't put decoys out doesn't mean, you know, it's you could get out there somehow to retrieve the bird. So, you know, there's ways to do it. You don't need to have the retriever, the dog by your side. You know, and that's the most important part of this whole endeavor, right? If we harvest an animal, we're gonna wanna take it in, you know. And you're gonna sit there for hours. And there's so much more to it. You know, we got to talk about high tide, low tide. You got to be careful. There's safety concerns. My buddy who I was telling you about, who just said he goes and sets up in the marsh with the chair blind. So he was telling me after he had a few drinks, I got to be honest with you, the first time I did it, I was such an idiot. I went out and I set up in this marsh. And it was great. I was shooting ducks. I thought I was such a big shot. He set up on the cusp of high tide. And it came in nice and slow under his feet, and he had his rubber boots on. He really didn't even notice. And then it was up to his ankles and then eventually his knees, and he was sitting in, you know, 3 feet of water eventually. And he said, "Ooh, I better start getting out of here," realizing he was basically trapped out there with waders, you know, and knee-high boots on and surrounded by, he was on a little bit of a high ground, and he was surrounded by 4 feet of water. Basically could have killed himself out there. Luckily found a path in where he skirted to his right. The water wasn't as deep. So, you know, you have a lot to consider. I don't want you to just run out there and have, have a dangerous put yourself in a dangerous situation. There's one more thing I'm going to talk to you about here, and it's called it's fun. It's called sky busting, and this is I don't know what you want to call it, a pet peeve of real waterfowlers, man, the real duck hunters, those hardcore guys. And then sky busting is shooting at birds that are out of range. You don't want to do it. First of all, it scares off birds. You're not going to hit them. You're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing the sport. And so it's vital to know what 30 to 40 yards looks like. That's your objective. Anything outside of 40, forget it. Don't even talk. I don't shoot really past 35. I have a thing where I'm looking for 35 yards to make my shot. Shooting a bird out of range, first of all, you're going to miss. You're going to scare away birds. But the worst thing that could happen, you could cripple a bird. You could hurt a bird. And then, you know, it's just not what we do as ethical hunters. You could ruin the hunt for other people in the blind or other hunters who want to hunt this area. The guy who really brought me out and took me hunting had a great line that he used, and I want to pass it on to you. And it's, if you see the eye, the bird will die. That's how you decide. So if you see the bird's eye, if you see the duck's eye, take your shot. You're good to go. And that stuck with me forever. If you see the eye, the bird will die. Wait till you can clearly see the eye of the bird. I know you're going to be itchy for your first bird kill. You're going to jump up. You're going to want to shoot. Wait till you see the eye of the bird. You know, like we're on Bunker Hill. Wait till you see the white of their eye. Personally, I like shooting ducks at close range. It's more exciting when they're right over you. They come burning in. People don't realize what a majestic flying bird they really are. And so for me, I'll let birds pass. Really, like I said, 40 yards, things like that. I'll try to turn them, have them come in at me. So I'll pass on shots. You know, especially if I'm hunting in timber or in the woods on a lake, something like that. You know, you're really, for me, it's the art of trying to fool the duck into coming in real close. And, you know, just like archery hunting. That's why I love the challenge. If I could get up and personal with the animals, to me, it makes it a lot more exciting. You know, but like any endeavor you decide to take, find someone to help you. If you email me and I'm going out, you're welcome to come with me. If you have all your stamps and you seem like a reasonably safe person, you know, if it's not possible, you got to start, or if you don't know anybody, absolutely don't know anybody, you got to start networking online. Go to Ducks Unlimited, register, get an account. You'll be surprised. Go to the local hunting store, talk to the guy behind the counter, tell him you're getting into it, look at some shotguns. It's so much better, you know, when you're learning from someone, you know, the learning curve, as they call it, than hunting alone, reading books, trying to get out there. It's possible and you could do it. But if you could find someone to go hunting with who knows what they're doing, you're going to be a lot better off. You know, the great thing about duck hunting, it's not solitary. You're not by yourself. You know, we go through this whole long season between, you know, I do, between Long Island, upstate New York, and then the Adirondacks. I have a long deer season, and it's solitary. I mean, I have my hunting partners, but you're sitting in the tree stand by yourself for the most part. What I always liked about duck hunting was the social aspect of it. You know, you're with guys. So if you can't find an experienced guy to go with, you know, make yourself that guy and bring people out with you. That's the beauty of it. As far as eating Long Island duck, I don't have a problem with it. I'm going to be honest with you. Maybe, you know, as a chef, I have a sophisticated palate. I could appreciate the earthiness of the Long Island duck, wild ducks. I think they get a bad rap. The waters off of Long Island have never been cleaner in the bay, Great South Bay, Reynolds Channel, everywhere down by me, Western Nassau County. Really, the water has never been in better shape for the most part. And so I hear a lot of hunters saying, oh, these duck are eating so much crap and they're polluted and I wouldn't eat them. Truthfully, I found the opposite. Depending on what the duck are eating and where they're from, they each have individual taste or distinguishable differences in their texture and flavor. And so I embrace that. I love it. There's nothing better for me than a simple grilled duck breast. What I'll do, I'll get a couple of ducks every year. I'll save the breasts. You know, I'll make duck stew or some other stuff with the rest of the duck, but I always save the breasts for the summer. I'm down at the beach, and I grill the duck breast, you know, balsamic vinaigrette, keep it real simple. You could even do barbecued duck, things like that in the summer with the duck. That's what I love to do, a dry rub, grill it up, nice medium rare duck breast. Nothing better than that. So, well, that's it. That's it. That was the first show of the new season. I feel pretty good about it. I structured it pretty good. Hopefully got you guys interested in some duck hunting. Like I said, next week we're going to be interviewing two authors, personal friends of mine. They wrote a book called In a Nutshell. Kind of funny. Obviously all about nuts. And the sustainability. We're going to talk about the sustainability of it and how it kind of ties in with wild game and foraging and things of that nature. All right.
Used to the new studio yet?
I don't like it, Jack. I'm going to be honest with you.
We got 40, just for listeners, we have 40 shows here a week. Every host comes in and they go, wow, the studio's clean. This is great.
Except
Chad, yeah, Chad comes in. He's like, what is this? I don't like this.
I kind of like the disorder to it before. I felt like I was, you know, like that old show. I'm gonna show my age, but like Jack knows it. He's a radio guy, WKRP in Cincinnati. Remember the studio that was like CDs, album vinyls falling off the wall and everything? Like, that's what I want. Like, I don't know, there should be some disorder to it, but I'll get used to it. I'm a soldier. I get used to anything. I don't care. You want me to work in a clean, organized, neat environment, God bless, I'll do it. That's fine. So yeah, it looks good. I think they even swept.
We did.
I don't have to sneeze. There's no dust in here. This is. I don't even feel like I'm in Brooklyn. Truthfully, I feel like, you know, we're on Long Island somewhere, the North Shore of Long Island, some fancy studio or something. All right. Well, you know, that's all the time we have today. And of course, I'd like to thank my man Jack again in this new year for engineering and producing today's show, first show of the new season. Thank you very much. You've been listening to the Wild Game Domain on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Thanks for listening. And the theme song to Wild Game Domain is Lockjaw by Four Lincolns.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.